Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this first Wednesday of 2024. Hope you had a great holiday season. Hope you had a wonderful new year as well. Got the chance to celebrate the new year with some friends and family. Had some delicious lobster mac and cheese. And I also had some amazing tiger shrimp. We also had a fancy wine and cheese night to ring in the new year. I think that was great. Coming up on the first show of 2024, we'll sit down with Hatchet Athletic Director Ryan Flynn to get his thoughts on what 2024 has in store. We'll recap Wisconsin's ReliaQuest Bowl against the LSU Tigers. What the Bucks need to change in order to get back to the finals. And what the Badger basketball team could... Why the basketball team, could become dangerous in March. We also have Week 18 NFL predictions to wrap up the season. But first, let's go ahead and get into the green and gold, shall we?
And an opening day dagger!
And you want to talk about a dagger on Sunday night? My goodness, the Green Bay Packers knocking off the Minnesota Vikings 33-10 at Minnesota. Coming into this game, I was very nervous about how this would go. Not because that I didn't think that Green Bay would win the game, but it's because of where it was at. Since US Bank Stadium went up, going into Sunday night, the Packers were 2-6. Those two wins were in 2019 and 2020. They beat Minnesota, and they not only beat them, they throttled the Vikings on Sunday. Allow me to say that that was about as close to a complete team win as we have seen from Green Bay so far this season. Again, the most complete team win was when they knocked off the Bears to begin the season, and we'll get into the preview with the Bears in a few minutes. The offense, yardage-wise, put forth their best game of the season. 471 total yards of offense. Jordan Love with a phenomenal performance. Had a total of 293 passing yards, 177 on the ground. And the defense shut down Minnesota Vikings with Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins at quarterback. I remember when Jaren Hall was announced as Minnesota's quarterback, that made my head scratch a little bit. Because when you are fighting for a playoff spot, you typically want your veteran player, your veteran quarterback, whoever that may be, whether that's Nick Mullins, whether that's Josh Dobbs, you want him in to at least see if you could try and steady the course and get you into the postseason. Well, Kevin O'Connell decided not to do that. He decided to go with a fifth-round rookie out of BYU and Jaren Hall, and it essentially backfired for him. No doubt about it. It backfired in the biggest way possible. Defense shut down those quarterbacks. Two takeaways that turned into 13 Packer points definitely helped matters. And to be honest, the Packers put 33 points on the scoreboard. They easily left, in my opinion, at least 7 or 8 points on the scoreboard as well, because you had the failed 4th-and-1. You had a missed extra point by Anders Carlson as well. So you had some points that were left on the scoreboard in that particular game, but they were still able to hang 33 on them. Tied for the second highest point total this season, with them beating Carolina. Back-to-back games at 30 points or more for this Green Bay team. This team is starting to streak towards the season and into the playoffs on a very high note. Now, let me go ahead and give some rounds of applause out for some key players. First off, let's give a round of applause to Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed set the Packers franchise record for most receptions by a rookie receiver in a season, passing the great Sterling Sharp back in 1988.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Jaden Reed stands at the top.
It's good to be king.
Yes, it definitely is. He did have to leave in the second half with a chest injury, which he had battled with throughout the course of the season, but still was able to put forth. That's the first one. The second round of applause goes to Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones with a second consecutive 100-yard rushing game, had 130 yards on 21 touches. Congratulations to him. He's been playing very well. It seems like that he is 100% healthy, and that is the best-case scenario for Green Bay at this moment in time. Our next round of applause goes out to a very unknown guy that not a lot of people knew about at the beginning of the season. That is Mr. Bo Melton. Bo Melton with the is the first Packer to have a 100-yard receiving game this particular season, and he was elevated from the practice squad the week before against Carolina. Kudos to him. Had 6 catches, scored his first NFL touchdown as well, 105 receiving yards to put him over the top in that particular game. So Jaden Reed, Aaron Jones, Bo Melton, and of course, you have to give it up for Love. Do you believe in love? And let me tell you something, if you don't believe in love right now after these last couple of weeks, there is something wrong with you. My goodness, 256 yards and 4 total touchdowns.
4 touchdowns in one game?
4 touchdowns in one game.
4 touchdowns in one game.
And he was also named NFC Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. Lots of round of applause to go around. Jordan Love now has 3,000, has more passing yards and passing touchdowns this season than every other Bears quarterback in their history.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's if you're a Bears fan. And my goodness, what an amazing performance by Jordan Love. He is now 3rd in the NFL in touchdown passes. 3rd. Think about that for a second. He's got 30 touchdown passes this season, more than Aaron Rodgers had in his first season. The only 2 quarterbacks that have more touchdown passes than him this year are Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy. And Purdy might not play because San Francisco locked up the number 1 seed. So there is a strong possibility that he could lead the NFL in touchdown passes at the end of the season, which would be absolutely miraculous considering where this team was at the beginning of November. They were 2-5. I was coming back from my brother's wedding, getting ready to go to the Rams. That was the last time we talked about, hey, you know, what's this team going to do? We thought about, well, maybe you should try and get a healthy receiver. Maybe you should try and shore up that offensive line. You definitely need a new defensive coordinator. But it didn't matter. It did not matter. This team persevered, and they have found their way to win. Since they went 2-5, they are now 6-3 in their last 9 games, which is absolutely unbelievable. They have also won 5 of their last 7 and their last 2 games as well. And they were must-win games on top of it. This team is starting to grow up right before our very eyes. Now, here's also what makes this cool. The fact that Seattle lost to the Steelers at home.
You are an idiot.
Now the Packers currently hold the number 7 seed in the NFC, and there is a strong possibility that they could get the number 6 seed. All they have to do to clinch a playoff spot is beat the Bears on Sunday. That's it. I'll be there covering the game. It is going to be electric at Lambeau Field. Now, again, we were in this scenario last year. The Packers were in the scenario last year, and they couldn't come out on the top. But here's the thing. The Lions of last year and the Bears of this year are 2 completely different teams. Yes, the Bears have played well in the second half of the season, and they deserve a lot of credit for that because they seem to be dead in the water at the beginning of the year. But this is a team that's 7-9 and has beaten below average to average teams. Kansas City knocked off a couple of Giants to get to where they are, to get to where they were at that point. So now all Green Bay has to do is beat Chicago, and they're in the postseason. Easier said than done. Again, easier said than done. But it's a strong possibility. Let me tell you why it's possible that they could get the number 6 spot. The Los Angeles Rams currently hold the number 6 spot in the NFC. They take on the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. Carson Wentz is starting at quarterback for the Rams. Just announced today. Carson Wentz is starting at quarterback for the Rams against the 49ers to wrap up the season. Which means if Green Bay wins, and now it's likely that the Rams are going to lose to the 49ers, the Packers can vault up to the number 6 spot, where they would have a date with Detroit in the postseason. And Green Bay on the road against Detroit and Dallas have been known as boogeymen. No other way around it. Now, again, it's not a slam dunk. Green Bay still needs to go out there and they need to handle their business against the Bears. But my goodness, regardless if they made the playoffs or not, this was a great season for this young team. There are a couple spots that they need to fix. The biggest one right now at this point being defensive back, because we don't know if Jair Alexander is going to play or not next season. There is a possibility that he could be traded before his roster bonus kicks in the offseason. Eric Stokes has been in and out of the lineup due to injuries. There's a couple of young corners that I like. I really like Carrington Valentine. I think he's got a future with this team. Corey Ballantyne played well against Minnesota. But they're going to need a defensive back, I think, to help shore up that secondary. Offensively, I think they need to address one or two positions on the line. I do like Rashid Walker at left tackle, but I think that you could try and get somebody better for him. But if they don't address that need, I'm not going to be mad that he's going to be the starter. The only other spot offensively that I would consider would at this point be running back, because you don't know if Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon is going to be back next season. That's really what it boils down to. Aaron Jones is entering the last year of his deal next year, and A.J. Dillon's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So definitely something to keep in mind. But regardless, this has been a great season. It's been a great season of growth for Green Bay. We really hope to see them in the postseason, and who knows? Maybe they could turn ahead of two. Speaking of turning heads, how about my predictions? I went 15-1 last week.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I am not crazy, and I'm not out of my mind. Results, the Cleveland Browns, congratulations to Cleveland for clinching a playoff spot. Knocking off the Jets 37-20. Dallas over Detroit 20-19 in a controversial end. Indianapolis over Las Vegas 23-20. Rams over the Giants 26-25. Bills over the Patriots 27-21. The only one I got wrong, and I think pretty much all of Wisconsin got this wrong, if not the nation, was Arizona over Philadelphia 35-31. San Francisco over Washington 27-10. Baltimore absolutely throttling Miami 56-19. Yeah, that deserves a dough. And another one. Chicago over Atlanta 37-17. Jacksonville shutting out Carolina 26-0. David Tepper being fined $300,000 for throwing a drink into a Jacksonville fan.
Wah, wah, wah.
New Orleans over Tampa Bay 23-13. Kudos to the Saints for fighting for their playoff lives. Houston over Tennessee 26-3. Pittsburgh over Seattle 30-23. Denver over the Chargers 16-9. And Kansas City clinching the AFC West with a 25-17 victory over the Bengals. Congratulations to them. We'll go over Week 18 NFL predictions in the second half of our Sports Q show. On the flip side of the break, we'll break down the Badger football team's performance in the ReliaQuest Bowl, as also recap the other bowls that take place, and also quickly preview the national championship coming up on Monday. That's all next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Hopefully the weather will be cooperating soon, making some safe ice for fishing. Well, when the ice is ready, you'll be ready after a stop at Vigo Stewart Express of Tomahawk. Select from the popular brand of ice augers. Check out the selection of fish locators. Keep warm with Eskimo ice fishing jackets and bibs with a size for men and women, plus lacrosse boots and ice armor gloves and mittens. Vigo Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. Vigo Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far. It's now 5:44. Let's now dive into some college football, shall we? All right. So Wisconsin lost in the ReliaQuest Bowl to LSU 37-31 on New Year's Day. Before I get into everything here, let me just sit back and say that this was overall a pretty disappointing season for the Wisconsin Badgers. And I think that everyone can agree with that, because I think that our expectations were set so high when Luke Fickell came in. But, and I remember Alex Stroft and I talking about this as well a few weeks ago when we were previously previewing the ReliaQuest Bowl after the Big Ten Championship game was done and Braylon Allen declared for the draft. He's like, I disagree with you, Alex, because I think that college football today is all about a win-now mentality. And you know what? You could certainly make that case. But I think it may go back to what it's like to build a program from the ground up, because there are still schools that will build their programs from the ground up. Deion Sanders is trying to build that with Colorado. We'll see what happens with that. And obviously, Luke Fickell's trying to build it in Wisconsin at this point in time. So the Badgers lose to LSU 35-31. Even though it was a disappointing season, that was the best effort we saw from Wisconsin all year long. Period, plain and simple. No matter what way you slice it, that was the best effort we got out of the Wisconsin Badgers all season long. And I don't think anyone can deny that. The offense had their best game of the season. They had over 500 yards of offense. 506 to be exact. And unfortunately, the offense stalled out at the tail end with Tanner Mordecai getting sacked three times. LSU just essentially pinned their ears back when it mattered most and got after Mordecai on the final drive of that game. And the big thing, I think, is that the Badger defense unfortunately let them down against the LSU backup quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, who definitely made his case as he should be the starter the next year. The problem is that, is he going to have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas back next year? But that's another issue. Tanner Mordecai, what a way to end your college career. 27-40, 378 yards passing, three touchdowns, a couple of darts that he absolutely threw in the first half. Will Pauling, great game from him, 143 yards receiving and two scores. And, of course, Marquez Green with seven catches, 105 yards and a score as well. Jackson Aker ran the ball decent. I don't think that he ran it well, but he was decent, 86 yards and a score. The running game was good, but not great. You needed to see a couple more splashed plays from Badger runners, either Mordecai or from Jackson Aker. And, unfortunately, as previously mentioned, Mordecai was outdueled by Nussmeier. Garrett Nussmeier played a phenomenal game for LSU against that Badger defense. Now, Wisconsin did have more opt-outs than LSU. So if you want to say that there's a little bit of an asterisk you could put on that, that's totally fine. If Wisconsin won the game, LSU fans would have put a big asterisk on that one because Jaden Daniels didn't play. Because that's just how it works. That's just how it works in college football today. But the defense wasn't good. And the calling card for Wisconsin over the last few decades, decades, has been run the ball and play defense. You do those two things, you're likely going to win. Three touchdown passes from Garrett Nussmeier in the second half. One of them to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. They cooked that Badgers secondary. I mean, the Badgers were absolutely outmatched in every facet of the word, no matter how you look at it. The Badgers did have more opt-outs than LSU, but that still goes down for a phenomenal performance from them. Regardless of what you may think about Wisconsin, now this is the chance to see. They're bringing in a couple new transfers. Alex Van Dyke is likely going to be the quarterback for Wisconsin next year. He's a transfer in from Miami. I always thought that with him, if he would just get out of Miami, I think that he would be successful. Especially with the ACC the way that it is right now and the Big Ten starting to turn into the super conference just like college football is right now. The Badgers will finish the season at 7-6. They'll likely have new quarterbacks, running backs. They may have the same wide receiver or two. But that's what it boils down to. Just a disappointing season overall for the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's go ahead and take a look at bowl results now from the last week. Starting with the Fenway Bowl in Boston. Boston College over number 24 SMU 23-14. Rutgers over Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl in an upset 31-24. Good for you, Rutgers. Number 25 Kansas State over number 18 North Carolina State 28-19 in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That mascot is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I would rather have a Pop-Tart than a donut.
Dear, would you kindly pass me a donut?
Donut? What's a donut?
Love that line. Number 14, Arizona over number 12, Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl, 38-24. Number 22, Clemson over Kentucky in the Gator Bowl, 38-35. An absolute stomping in the Sun Bowl. Number 16, Notre Dame over number 19, Oregon State, 40-8. In the Liberty Bowl, Memphis over Iowa State, 36-26. In the Cotton Bowl, a big upset. Number 9, Missouri over number 7, Ohio State, 14-3. There you go. Number 11, Ole Miss over number 10, Penn State, 38-25 in the Peach Bowl, which, by the way, that Ole Miss quarterback has the best name for a quarterback I've ever heard. Jackson Dart.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
And throwing darts. That's essentially what he did as well. Maryland over Auburn in the Music City Bowl, 31-13. And the big news, obviously, is the Orange Bowl. Number 6, Georgia over number 5, Florida State, 63-3. Again, Wisconsin losing to LSU 35-31 in the ReliQuest Bowl. Number 17, Iowa, shut out by number 21, Tennessee, 35-0. Iowa fans, what are you doing?
You are an idiot!
Number 8, Oregon over number 23, Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl, 45-6. And then in the college football playoff semifinal, both those games were incredibly entertaining. Very impressed with the quality of football. It was number one Michigan over number four Alabama in overtime, 27-24, down stop by the Wolverines. And then you have number two Washington knocking off number three Texas, 37-31. One of my old coworkers from the station I worked at down in Iowa, as a matter of fact, his name is Derek Cardwell. Shout out to him. He is from Indiana originally, and he is a big Hoosier fan. Washington's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., spent the first few years of his career at Indiana and then as a graduate transfer to Washington. And I reached out to him and I said, how do you feel for Michael Penix? And he just told me Indiana gets to claim the national championship as their own because that's the closest they'll ever get to one. That hurts. There you go. So the college football playoff national championship game will be on Monday. It'll be down at Energy Stadium in Houston. It's number one Michigan and number two Washington. Very excited to see this particular game. You got J.J. McCarthy. You also got the number one ranked Michigan defense in the nation going up against what is arguably the best offensive line in the nation in number two Washington. Very, very excited to see what that game has in store. That's a look at the college football landscape. You're on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is 5:52. We'll take a quick break and we'll break down some Bucks basketball for you after this. You're listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Price is so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. It is 5:54. Nothing wrong with a little bit of the boss himself, Bruce Springsteen. Let's go ahead and dive into some basketball action, shall we?
Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right. So the Milwaukee Bucks are about to get in action right now against the Indiana Pacers on the road after losing to them this past Tuesday by the score of 121-112. Now, let me say this. The Bucks, to me, they need a piece. And it very well may be the injured Jay Crowder, but the offense had a bad night against Indiana. The Pacers shot 5 of 30. 5 from three-point range. Think about that for a second. 5 of 35, and the Bucks still lost the game by 9. That's concerning to me. That's very, very concerning to me. And I know it could be just an off night for Damian Lillard, which is understandable. It happens. But being 1-3 against the Pacers is a genuine concern. The reason why I bring that up is because this is the same Bucks team that was upset in the first round of the playoffs last year to the Miami Heat. And what was their downfall? It was inconsistent play on the offensive side of the ball, and their defense, essentially, they couldn't contain what was left of Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. You also had Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, all those guys. Okay, period, plain and simple. There's been no consistent bench play as well from this team. Outside of Bobby Portis, you don't really have anybody that can come in and get you 8-10 points a night off the bench. Nobody, not even Marjon Beauchamp, who we thought was going to take the next big step with him being a rookie last year going into his second year, and it hasn't materialized. That's the reason why you see Malik Beasley in the starting lineup. After Bobby Portis, though, who else do you have? Pat Connaughton is showing his age. They don't really have another shooter. Yes, Campaign is a decent backup point guard, but you're going to need somebody different. And that very well could be Jay Crowder coming back. Regardless of what that is, though, and I think it matters whether Crowder is back or not, I think Milwaukee is going to have to make a move. They're going to have to make some sort of move at the trade deadline. Let me tell you why I say this. Because if you don't want to be a first-round exit again, you better be able to play defense and shoot consistently from three-point range. The Bucks offensively have the most efficient team in the NBA. They had the most efficient team in the month of December. But they are going to need to be better defensively and from outside if they are going to win. Malik Beasley has been shooting well. But he may need to come off the bench if he's trying to bring in somebody else. You have to look for the PJ Tucker move, the move that was able to bring a title to the city of Milwaukee. Bringing in PJ Tucker was a big boost because Tucker was a 3-and-D player. He's no more for his defense than he is his three-point shooting these days. But when he came over, it was a huge help for the Bucks fans because, oh, it was an offense. You know, you got a guy that can help you defend the best player on the other team. Portis is currently averaging 12.5 and 7 a game. You may need to try and start him because that way you're going to have to get some sort of production off the bench as well. Malik Beasley's been shooting well. I don't know if he can keep 46% from three-point range up. But it's definitely a good sign. Lillard and Middleton are shooting below 40% from three-point range, though. That's a concern. And you don't have anybody to pick up the slack when Lillard and Middleton are at an off night because Giannis obviously cannot shoot from three-point range. I think they're going to need to make a move. Now, I'm not going to say do what the Knicks did and go out and get someone like OG Anunoby or do what the Lakers did, go out and get Dejounte Murray from the Hawks. You're going to need somebody that is a good 3-and-D bench player to help round this out because Pat Connaughton is starting to show his age, in my opinion. And bringing Jay Crowder back will help, but I don't think that it will be the final piece that they need. That's just my own opinion. And the defense is still having lapses. Again, Adrian Griffin has been getting a lot of flack as a first-year head coach, and I've been trying to preach patience because obviously when you're a first-year head coach going into this kind of situation, you want to be as patient as you possibly can. And right now, fans are starting to get impatient, and that's fine because this is a championship-contending team. This isn't rebuilding from the ground up like we expected with the Packers this season. What you're going to need, though, is that you're going to need another piece, potentially someone that is good defensively. Again, Milwaukee is Indiana tonight. That's about ready to get underway. We'll give you an update on that game tomorrow here on WJJQ. Coming up on the second half of the Sports Cube, we'll sit down with Hatchet Athletic Director Ryan Flynn to get his thoughts on recapping 2023 and providing a preview of 2024. I'll also break down how the Badger basketball team could be dangerous come NCAA tournament time. And I'll also have my Week 18 NFL predictions. All of that is coming up on the second half of the Sports Cube here on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ Tomahawk. It is 25 degrees and it's dusk outside and 6 o'clock time for CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Republican leaders are putting more pressure on Democrats to secure the southern border amid a surge in migrant crossings. House Speaker Mike Johnson led a delegation today in Texas.
One thing is absolutely clear. America is at a breaking point with record levels of illegal immigration. And today, we got a firsthand look at the damage and the chaos the border catastrophe is causing in all of our communities.
Cities like Denver say they're suffering from the influx. Mayor Mike Johnston.
What we need is work authorization, coordinated entry, and we need federal dollars. With those three, we can be successful. Without it, this will be a very hard problem to solve.
Republicans refuse to approve foreign military aid without border funding. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller denies U.S. involvement in a pair of bombings today in Iran.
The United States was not involved in any way, and any suggestion to the contrary is ridiculous. And number two, we have no reason to believe that Israel was involved in this explosion.
The attack killed about 100 people. Meantime, a suspected Israeli attack that killed a top Hamas leader in Beirut is now raising concerns about a bigger war. CBS's Robert Berger.
Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah says the assassination in Beirut won't go without a response. He said if Israel chooses war, Hezbollah is prepared for war. At the same time, Nasrallah hinted that war is not imminent because Hezbollah needs to protect the interests of Lebanon.
Donald Trump wants the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate a ruling in Colorado that would keep him off the state's primary ballot this spring. Colorado and Maine want him removed due to his role in the insurrection. Both states hold their primaries on Super Tuesday in early March. And this comes as Trump skips another debate.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley will be the only ones on stage at next week's Republican presidential debate on CNN. Former President Trump will reportedly do a Fox News town hall at the same time. Both events are happening next Wednesday in Des Moines, just 5 days before the Iowa caucuses. Vivek Ramaswamy and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie didn't qualify for the debate. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A major student aid system's getting overhauled.
It's known as FAFSA, and it's now available for the 2024-2025 school year, but only on a limited basis. The federal student aid application is being redesigned to make it easier to use. The redesign, though, will delay students getting their financial aid offers.
That's CBS's Jim Krasula. Ford is recalling more than 100,000 F-150s with tow max duty. A bolt can fail, causing vehicles to roll away while parked or lose power while driving. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's something magical about unboxing. When you unbox BritBox, you uncover a world of British entertainment. Stream the UK's most brilliant series, including new and upcoming seasons of Shetland, Father Brown, and Death in Paradise. Plus new originals like Payback, Irvine Welsh's Crime, and Archie, the story of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Cary Grant. Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV. Stream with a free trial at BritBox.com.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Night, fans celebrate the man who penned The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
The Tolkien Society encourages fans of J.R.R. Tolkien around the world to raise a glass at 9 p.m. local time to celebrate what would have been the 132nd birthday of the storyteller.
Cheers, Gaffa.
Before you partake, you might need to do some prep.
What about elevensies? Luncheon, afternoon tea, dinner, supper.
When it comes time to toast, the Tolkien Society says all you have to do is hold it high and say, "The Professor," and take a sip. Many people have entered their drink of choice online, but it's not clear if there's one drink
to rule them all.
Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Well, it took 34 years, but someone finally did it. Someone beat Tetris. A 13-year-old from Oklahoma got to level 157 on the Nintendo NES. Before this, the highest level anyone ever got to was 37. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
I don't have the brain capacity to deal with that kind of Tetris. WJJQ Radio Sports Time is 6.05 p.m., 25 degrees here in the Northwoods, with some snow still falling here at our WJJQ studios. We'll have our second half of the sports queue coming up after our weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods for tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of a couple of flurries early, and some lake effect snow in Vilas County, low 14. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sun, high in the mid-20s. Northwest wind at 5, becoming southwest. Friday, increasing clouds, low 13, high 31. Chance of some light snow showers Friday night and Saturday. Small accumulations, Saturday's high 32. And by Sunday, cloudy, some light snow showers possible in the first half of the day, high 30. Monday, partial sun, high 30. Chance of light snow and turning breezy on Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Nothing wrong with a little bit of who? The who, exactly. Bob O'Reilly. Now we're going to get into our second half of the Sports Q program, and we have a very special guest in the house with us tonight. We have, for the first time on the Sports Q this year, we have Tomahawk Activities and Athletics Director, Mr. Ryan Flynn. Ryan, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, Alex. Honestly, thank you, WJJQ and the Albert family, everyone, for the coverage we get in this community. It's really special, the amount of coverage our students get throughout the year from you guys and always supporting us at the school and getting the hatches out on the radio.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump right into it here. You took over for athletic director, obviously, over the summer and into the season. Let's start off by recapping 2023. What did you think of the first half of the athletic year so far?
First half year, it's been a lot of transition, including myself. We've had some coaching turnover. We've had some employees turnover in the school. So it was really getting up to speed. But my overall thoughts on it really is, Tomahawk's really starting to be on the up and up when it comes to stuff. And that's your typical small high school, rural school in Wisconsin. It's cyclical. It goes on years. You get good classes come through and have a little success, and then have years where you don't have high participation, low. But, if you go back through our fall and the things that our kids accomplished, start with football and Coach Riley.
Yes.
You come in, at one point we could have easily been 5-1 on the season. We had a couple tight losses with the kids just learning how to compete and be in tight games. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, we get down win or go home scenario with Clintonville, not even knowing if the win will get us into the WIAA playoffs. And if you remember that game, it was monsoon.
Well, of course I remember that game. I was calling that game.
And you're up in the booth while the rest of us were drenched head to toe. But the kids just battled the entire game. Clintonville ended up pulling out, got us back in the playoffs, as the second time in the last 3 years, and I believe 14th time in the school history. So it was a really good way to end the season for football, send the seniors out on a good note. They had a great experience with that.
Yeah.
Even the Southern Door game, for the people that went and watched that, the score was a little more lopsided than what the play on the field was. We just, little lack of depth there kind of held us back as the game went on.
Of course.
They were down. And then we go into the volleyball season, graduating a D1 middle, and Megan Scholes and her sister Mackenzie as setter, and outside Alyssa Zahner, and just didn't really have the firepower we've been known for in years, but the girls really battled. That group was very gutty at times. Managed to get runner-up in the conference. You go to our Hatchet Harriers, our tradition in Tomahawk with cross country. The girls brought back home the conference championship this year from Medford. Just missed getting to state there by 5 points at the sectional. Just kind of had an off day at the wrong time, but that was great to see the conference championship come home and break Medford's streak of 6 straight. Boys missed runner-up by 1 point for conference, and then obviously in the fall our last sport was girls swimming, and Paige DeKeep finishing down Waukesha, they hold the WIA tournament at Waukesha, and getting on the podium a couple times to finish out her high school career. It's kind of a quick turnaround. The kids get about 3 weeks off there, and then the winter sports start, and we're off to a pretty solid start in the winter sports. Right before the wrestling season started, Bob Grew got inducted in the State Coaching Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He's had 30 years as a coach, over 300 career dual wins, and he was nominated by his fellow coaches in the state and got inducted, and I was able to go over there and see Coach get inducted. That was really cool seeing him, how much that meant to him. And, he follows that off, and all of a sudden, with the WIA allowing individual weight classes for female athletes,
yes,
all of a sudden we have about 16 girls participating in
wrestling. Which is wonderful. Which is absolutely wonderful.
You know, so so they're having a lot of fun. They're learning. You know, the guys on the team have done a really good job of making them feel part of the team with them. Mm-hmm. They practice together. They work out together. You know, and, you know, wrestling-wise, we got a couple individuals on both sides of the ledger that hopefully will get down to Madison at in the end of February. You know, Presley Gutbrod's a returning state qualifier from last year, and he's off to a good start again. And then you go into hockey season. The hockey got off to a great start. You know, really beefed up the schedule for them this year. They just went to a very competitive tournament that every team at the tournament they're at have been at the WIA state tournament in the last 5 years, and they held their own. And one of the cool remarks that heard coming out of that tournament from Coach Riley was the coaches down there kind of said, we didn't really know what to expect from you guys. You know, small school, you know, we're the smallest public school in the state that has their own hockey team. And they said, you guys absolutely deserve to be at this ice with us and at this level. So they compete real well. And then sitting in first place right now, tied with Lakeland Wapaka and the GNC.
Yeah.
And obviously tomorrow's a big tilt up at Lakeland Ice Arena.
Oh, you have no idea. I am so excited for that game. Last year's game was absolutely phenomenal. Going back and forth, I'm very excited to call a game up in Lakeland this time coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, and it's just a great atmosphere whenever you get Tomahawk versus Lakeland. The rivalry, it has deep roots in our community with us and the old Thunderbirds up there. So it's going to be a big one. A lot of people have it circled on their calendar. Even Wisconsin Prep Hockey has it as their game of the week.
Yeah.
So we'll have statewide coverage up at that game.
That is wonderful.
And then, you know, and then it rolls into our other winter sports going on. Girls basketball actually just won the holiday tournament we hosted. Got the first two wins of the year.
Yeah.
Beat Marathon. That's a perennial sectional state. You know, they're cyclical. They go on about a 5-6 year cycle, and all of a sudden they're back down in Madison. And that was the most complete game I've seen the girls basketball program play in a long time. The girls played great defensively and just worked and ran their offense.
And Marathon, as you mentioned, very good small school program. My first job, believe it or not, was calling Marathon High School in 2017-2018. And that girls basketball program went all the way to the sectional final. They are a phenomenal, phenomenal program.
Yeah, there's just something in the water down in the old Norwood Conference. You can talk football.
There always
basketball,
is.
Baseball, there's
there always be is. There always is.
And and then the boys, again, Coach Larson, I played for him back in the day, and I told him I was going to ask him one of my weirdest questions I've ever asked him, and I cornered him in his office back in October, asked him to take over the basketball program for me, and I think that was the hardest question I ever gave him because his eyes got real big and kind of asked when you can't be serious, but he's doing, you know, Coach is doing a great job with those boys. There's a lot of energy around the program. They work really, really hard in practice. The assistants are really engaged. So it's been a lot of fun seeing the old ball coach out on the hardwood.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And then our boys swim team, a little low in numbers, but the guys have been dropping their times and personal records all year long this year. So,
yes, they have.
You know, Coach L'Esperance obviously is doing a great job with them as they start gearing up for their tournament run here coming up. So, you know, that's kind of the recap right now of what's kind of going on within THS's walls for the athletics end of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking here with Hatchet Activities and Athletics Director Ryan Flynn here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Ryan, let's go ahead and focus in on that Hatchet Holiday Basketball Tournament because this is the first year you guys decided to host it. I want to know, I know that you came in late, but what led to ultimately hosting this particular tournament?
Yeah, so from my understanding, Marion Montello and us used to participate in a tournament down in Almond Bancroft. Almond, both their boys and girls programs are kind of coming around here, so they had an opportunity to go into the Century Classic, which is the big tournament Stevens Point held at UWSP over holiday break.
Yep.
So Scott Parsons set it up last year when he was activities director that we're going to kind of host, and he picked up Spencer on the boys' side, and Marathon came up on the girls' side to fill the tournament. The Marathon boys are actually number one in the state right now, so they're playing down in the Century Classic, if I remember right. So it just, you know, was set up last year for us, and you know, said, okay, we'll take it on and see how it goes, and set up, and it seemed to be a good couple days for us.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and focus in a little more on that. I want you to elaborate a little bit more on how successful you thought it was.
Well, I think the coolest part about it was the schools that came up to our community. want to come back next year. So, you know, it was kind of us hosting it to have it done, and how we had it set up and how the day ran, and the officials, the concession stands was ran by the Hatchet Hoop organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really excited. I know Montello could not believe our facilities. You know, their assistant girls coach is actually a football coach, so took him outside, showed him the Hatchet Pride project that was done a few years ago, and mm-hmm. he was floored. He couldn't believe a school our size had what we had. Their kids couldn't believe the size of the weight room. So overall, it went really well. It was really smooth for us. So, you know, trying to pin down a date next year that works, because the calendar is weird with Christmas and New Year's.
Yep.
On Wednesday next year in the middle of the week. You know, because obviously we want to be respectful of families and their time over the holiday break, and the kids yes. being away from school also. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to figure out, you know, it's probably looking like Friday, Saturday that we'd do it. All the teams want to come back that I've heard from so far. And we're probably going to add JV games in too, so they can get their JV programs up and get some games and have the whole team stay in their hotels. I mean, Montello, in between the girls and boys games on the second day, they took both teams over to the bowling alley and went and bowled it.
Huh, there you go.
So it was good for our community and good for just getting some people up here and seeing what we're so fortunate to live in.
Absolutely. Talking here with Activities Director of Tomahawk High School, Ryan Flynn, in the sports queue here on WJJQ. Ryan, let's focus more on the future and what it holds. Obviously, Tomahawk is going to be hosting wrestling sectionals coming up in the middle of February this year. How's it going to feel hosting that big of an event?
It's really hard to explain how excited we are, to be honest. We have a very strong wrestling alumni association here.
Yes.
And they're helping me 100% of the way on this. They're taking over, and we've been working on this. When we found out we got the sectional, we already started talking. Hey, we need this. We need this. We want to roll out the red carpet. You know, we got 27 schools coming into town that mm-hmm. day. You know, so we've really been gearing towards putting on a really great event, and hopefully having it again in the future. You know, this will be the first time Tomahawk actually hosts a sectional. We've hosted the regional multiple times over the years, but to get a sectional is a pretty big deal. Get that many yes. people in our community for the economy. You know, people coming, staying overnight, going out to eat at our local restaurants. You know, so we're kind of pulling out no stops right now, and we're going to go foot on the gas, and we're going to try to do the best we can to hopefully have the WIA be like, well, those guys put on a great event. Do you want yeah. to take in the years to come and, you know, just keep that nice little weekend getting people into our community and coming to our school and checking out our facilities?
Absolutely. So, Ryan, final question I have before I let you go here. Obviously, you being a first-year athletic director, why don't you talk a little bit about what your expectations are for the school and for the sports program itself as we head into 2024?
Well, my expectations haven't changed from, you know, when I was a student athlete and when I was an athletic trainer and weight room and stuff. You know, this community means everything to me. You know, myself and my wife are alumni from here. My parents are alumni from here. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to find a job back in this area and move back. And the number one thing that I care about is it's Hatchet Pride and it's success. Like, you can't cut corners with this, and, you know, long term, looking at, you know, you got to lay the foundation first and then start adding bricks to the walls to build your house. But I, you know, ultimately my goal is for Tomahawk to become a state known school. Like, we're so good academically and we offer so much to our students in the school
mm-hmm.
that I want people to come to this community and not just think of it as a tourist community and come in and be like, oh my gosh, did you see that football team downstate? Did you see that basketball team? You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that it's, It takes time. It does. And there's a lot of little things, and it's getting the right people around you. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're really fortunate with our coaching staffs we have in place and the people we have putting time in for our kids here. You know, another big piece that just happened recently at the school board meeting was we were approved for summer FIAD strength and conditioning class. You know, we're fortunate we got a good hire in Cooper Kelly. He helped coach football this year. And he'll be running that with Taylor Hudzinski Pike for us in the summer. And, you know, that's a very big piece for us. So,
man, a lot to look forward to. A lot to look forward to in 2024. Activities and Athletics Director Ryan Flynn in the sports queue here on WJJQ. Ryan, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
Anytime. All right. Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll start and talk about Badger basketball and how I think they can make some noise come March. This is the sports queue on WJJQ.
where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Come to Little Chicago and put a bow on your shopping with a new vehicle for yourself during the Wrap Up the Year sales event. Get 0% for 72 months on remaining new 2023 Ram 1500 models. To qualify consumers during the Wrap Up the New Year sales event and no payments for 90 days. The new 2023 Jeep Gladiator is the gift that keeps giving. Navigate the worst winter roads fun in the summer with the top down and very capable for your off-road adventures. Now get 15% off MSRP off sport models. Finish your Christmas shopping with time to spare with the awesome power of our in-stock new 2024 Ram TRX. The 1500 with the famous Hellcat engine. Shop our incoming new Ram 2023 heavy-duty trucks built to work or to pull fun whenever fun takes you with. 10% off MSRP along with new 2024 Ram heavy-duties in stock. $3,000 in rebates at Brickner Motors of Little Chicago. Minutes away from Merrill, Wausau, and Medford.
Work with someone you know and trust. Hi, I'm PJ at Crossbridge Community Bank. I take pride in knowing my customers and knowing their businesses. It's just one of those things that makes banking with us different. Local means we shop at your stores and eat at your restaurants. We know when it's your busy season and when you have a moment to take a breath. We want to be your partner in success and offer guidance when you need it most. Crossbridge Community Bank puts purpose first. Whether it's the beginning of your business dreams or time for your retirement, let us be there alongside you. Visit us in downtown Tomahawk, downtown Merrill, or online at crossbridge.bank.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you very much to Ryan Flynn for joining me on the show today. It was a pleasure to have him on. Hopefully we'll have him on in the future, probably when the school year ends, I would guess. But for now, let's go ahead and dive into some Badger basketball. We need to come up with some different music for Badger basketball. I'll have to look a little bit into that. But let's go ahead and start things off. Wisconsin basketball opening up the 2024 season with a big win over Iowa, 83-72 last night. Badgers currently ranked number 21 in the country. And I have two words for the Big Ten and for all you Badger fans out there. Look out. This Badger team has been absolutely phenomenal to begin the season. Yeah, they struggled against top 10 teams, but this is a team that is slowly starting to build the momentum as the season goes on. They're playing incredibly well. They put 83 points on the scoreboard last night, okay? 83, which is a lot. The Badgers have been scoring a lot of points. It's their highest scoring average, I think, in 30 years, if I recall correctly. The Badgers only shot 4 of 16 from three-point range last night, and they scored 83 points. They got their points by scoring in the paint and at the free throw line, which is exactly what you want if you're Wisconsin. 4 of 16 from three-point range won't help. What will help is shooting 27 of 52 from the field, over 50%, and 25 of 35 from the free throw line. They more than doubled up Iowa in their free throws last night. They also out-rebounded the Hawkeyes by 6, and Iowa is a team that struggled coming out of the gates to begin the season. But you can't take anyone for granted, especially in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is such a tough basketball conference, no matter what you think about it. Badgers have won 10 of their first 13 games. They are 10-3. Their three losses were to Tennessee at home. No shame in that. Tennessee is one of the better teams in the country. To Providence. Providence is now ranked 23 in the country. They also knocked off Marquette, who's a top 10 team in the nation. And they also lost to Arizona. Arizona is the best team in the country right now. And to me, it's not even close. And the balanced scoring is what is really impressing me about this Badger team. When they were making the national championship in their Final Four runs with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker, you could look at those two and like, how are you going to stop those guys? With Wisconsin, they don't really have a superstar that jumps out at you, but they do have guys that could get you 10, 15 points a night. And when you have four guys that can do that for you, that leaves teams scrambling to figure out, who are we going to guard? Who are we going to let get hot? Tyler Wall, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. Best free throw shooting performance of the season. Stephen Crowell with a double-double, 14 points, 13 boards. A.J. Storrs, 16. Max Klusman, 15 points, 4 assists. The fact that they are like this, and they're not even good, they're not even getting good production out of Connor Sejan, who's hit a sophomore slump literally this year. Chucky Hepburn is not scoring like he was when he was a freshman and sophomore. He is reserved back to a typical point guard role. And you know what? He doesn't seem to mind. That's the big thing. He does not seem to mind being the point guard for this team, who has Tyler Wall, AJ Storr, Max Klusman, Stephen Crowell scoring double-digit points on a nightly basis. The Badgers so far have defeated Michigan State and Iowa. Now again, none of these teams are world beaters. Neither of those teams are world beaters this year. But they're still probably going to finish in the top six of the Big Ten, in my opinion. That's how stacked the Big Ten is. You have to take every Big Ten game with a grain of salt when you're in this conference. The biggest thing I've noticed, though, with this Badger team, their defense is still very, very good. It's not great, but it's very good. Which you can win, which you can make a run in March with a very good defense and a great offense. You don't have to be world beaters on offense. All you got to do is put up 70 to 80 a game. And the Badger defense, you know, is going to give up 60 to 70 a game. And most likely, you're probably going to win 75% of those games. That's just how it rolls. That's just how it rolls with Badger basketball, no matter whatever way you slice it. But I will point this out. Even though I am excited, the Big Ten schedule is going to be getting tougher, especially down the road, because the schedule always gets tougher no matter what conference you're in. In February specifically, they've got three matchups with top 10 teams in the conference. They've got two with Purdue, and they've got one with top 10 ranked Illinois. Now, Illinois is having some issues of themselves. They have a player that was kicked off the team for some really, really bad criminal stuff. Go ahead and look it up. I'm not going to get too much into it. But they're still a very good team, regardless of where they are. And also on the docket, two games against Ohio State. Ohio State's a very good program. Two games with Indiana. Indiana, even though Trace Jackson Davis graduated last year, they're still respectable with Mike Woodson as head coach. Two against Purdue. Top five team in the nation. They got one more with Michigan State. That's at home. And they've got two against Rutgers. And Rutgers is a bit of a dark horse because they came out and really surprised people with their play last year. I would not be surprised if they surprised people with their play again this year. The Big Ten is always difficult. I think that we can all agree on that. Let's see where this team is come February, and then we can make that determination from there. But I think that if Wisconsin keeps playing like this, they can make some noise in March, folks. They could definitely win a game or two. I could see this team going all the way to the Sweet 16, maybe even the Elite Eight, if they keep this play up. If they're able to keep this play up, there's going to be very, very few teams that be able to shut them down. That's just my take. We're going to take one more break. Coming up after the break, we will go ahead and wrap up the NFL season with my Week 18 NFL predictions. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and a great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook here on this Wednesday. It is now 6:30. And it is now time to get into our Week 18 NFL predictions. Here we go. Just a quick note, no Thursday game this week. Only one broadcast. We'll give you what that broadcast is coming up later on. First off, we have a Saturday doubleheader for you, and this is a must-win game for Pittsburgh. They take on the Baltimore Ravens at home. Pittsburgh, don't know if they're going to play Lamar Jackson or not. Steelers are going to roll with Mason Rudolph in this one. I'm going to presume that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens don't play most of their starters, and I've got Pittsburgh winning this game 24-20. AFC South showdown between Houston and Indianapolis. This could very well determine who ends up winning that division. Gardner Minshew going up against C.J. Stroud. The Texans and Colts both have impressed me all year with their play, but I'm going to go with a little bit of an upset here.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Colts to win 23-21. Cincinnati taking on Cleveland again. I think the Browns will rest most of their starters. They're starting to prepare for the upcoming postseason spot. Congratulations to them clinching a spot. I'm going to take the Bengals to win 24-21. On Sunday, Detroit and Minnesota going toe-to-toe. Minnesota needs to have a lot happen in order for them to have a shot at the postseason. That includes beating Detroit, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Detroit wins 27-17. Jacksonville against Tennessee. Jacksonville, if they win, they get the AFC South title. It's as simple as that. No other way about it. I'm going to take the Jaguars to knock off the Titans. I think they get the number 4 seed, 26-17. New Orleans against Atlanta. This is a very intriguing matchup, obviously. New Orleans knocking off Tampa Bay, keeping their faint playoff hopes alive. I think they knock off Atlanta as well. I think it'll go down to the wire, but I think they win 21-20. Tampa Bay and Carolina going toe-to-toe. Panthers have locked up the number 1 pick for the Bears with the worst record in the NFL. Tampa Bay with a win, they simply get the NFC South title. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game. I think it'll be close. I think it'll go down to the wire. And I think the final score will be 23-17. I think Bryce Young will put forth a valiant effort, but it won't be enough. New England against the New York Jets in what might be Bill Belichick's final game as head coach of the New England Patriots. They were able to knock off the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers also this season. They got the Jets coming up. The Jets and Patriots both eliminated from the postseason. I'm going to take the New England Patriots to win this game, and I think Bill Belichick rides off into the sunset on a high note. I think the final score is going to be 17-16. Now let's go ahead and move on to the late slate of games, shall we? We got a lot of big games coming up for you starting at 3:25. San Francisco and the Rams going toe-to-toe. I think that this is going to be a very tight game. I do believe that San Francisco will rest most of their starters, but I don't know if it'll make that much of a difference since the Rams are going to go with Carson Wentz to start at quarterback for LA. I'm going to take the Niners to win. I think it'll be close, but I think they pull it out 24-23. Vegas and Denver AFC West showdown to wrap up their seasons. I'm going to take the Raiders to win this game. I think that Denver essentially gave up on the postseason when they put Jared Stidham in for Russell Wilson last week, even though they beat the Chargers. I think the Raiders win 23-20. Then we've got Green Bay and Chicago. The Packers win there in the postseason. Yours truly will be there covering the game at 3:25 on Sunday on WJJQ. I think that the Green Bay Packers are going to go into the playoffs on a high note. Remember, all they have to do is win, and they're in. That is it. And I think that they will beat the Bears. I don't think it'll be the same as it was last year when they lost to Detroit. I've got Green Bay winning 27-24. Kansas City on the road to take on the LA Chargers. I think that this will be Kansas City all the way. No doubt about it. I think that they knock off the Chargers 28-14 and essentially try and keep their grasp firm at the number 3 seed in the AFC. They can still make some noise, but the receivers have got to start catching passes quick, fast, and in a hurry. Dallas against Washington. If Dallas wins, they win the NFC East, and they will get the number 2 seed in the NFC. If they lose and a Philly wins, the Eagles will get the number 2 seed. I got Dallas knocking off the Commanders, though. I think it'll be a close game, but I think they pull it out 24-17. Philadelphia taking on the New York Giants.
Hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Final time I get to play that for you, folks. I think the Eagles will win 27-21. I do think the Giants will put up quite a bit of a fight, and I also believe that the Eagles have crashed back down to earth. I don't see them losing to the Giants, though, on the road. Seattle with taking on Arizona. Again, they're going to need some help if they're going to try and get into the postseason. Arizona's fought very hard all season long. They just don't have a lot of talent. They need to build their team from the ground up. I got Seattle winning this game 21-17. I do think it'll be close. And our lone broadcast here on WJJQ for NFL football will be Sunday night, the final game of the regular season to determine the AFC East title as Miami Dolphins take on the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins have been streaking downwards a little bit recently. Bills have been going upward. I don't think that will continue. I got the Dolphins knocking off the Bills. I think it'll be a close one. Final score will be 38-28. Miami pulls it out with a last-second field goal to clinch the AFC East and the number 2 seed in the AFC. Those are my Week 18 NFL predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Cube with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Happy New Year from Gary at the Auto House. Heading into 2024, Gary will begin his 39th year in business offering service to our Northwoods communities and making him the longest operating auto dealer in the area. If you're looking for a new-to-you vehicle in this new year, well, then make sure you check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. There's cars, trucks, SUVs, over 40 units to choose from. And if you can't find exactly what you're looking for on the lot, Gary can help you find your next vehicle. The Auto House has a selection of rental vehicles if you need one, and that's what you call doing business the right way for nearly 40 years. At the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk, they're online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. A few flurries possible at times tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 13, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. About an inch of snow Friday night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 24.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday, 6:38. About ready to start our final countdown. Let's go ahead and give you some Hatchet events coming up in the next week. Next broadcast of Hatchet Sports is tomorrow. Tomahawk Hockey will take on Lakeland. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 6:35. Opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth tomorrow night. Tomahawk basketball will take on Mosinee on Friday. Boys will be at home, girls on the road. JV games tip off at 5:45. Varsity tips off at 7:15. Coming up on Saturday, Tomahawk Wrestling will be at the Blue Jay Challenge in Merrill at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when weigh-ins begin. Tomahawk Boys Swimming will have an invite on Saturday afternoon at Ashwaubenon. That'll begin at 12:30. And then on Tuesday, we got a pretty full slate of Hatchet sports for you, starting with Hatchet Boys Swimming in a double duel with conference foes Antigo and Medford at the Raider Pool. That gets underway at 5:30 on Tuesday. Then Tomahawk Basketball will be against Medford. Boys will be at home. Girls will be on the road. JV games tip off at 5:45. Varsity at 7:15. Terry, Tim, and I will be in the broadcast booth for the boys' game on Tuesday. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 6:50. Tip off again at 7:15. Be sure to tune in. And then finally, our last one will be on Tuesday. Tomahawk Hockey is going to take a trip down 51 to Wisconsin Rapids to take on Rapids Lincoln. Opening faceoff that day is at 7 o'clock. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Hope you're having a great 2024 so far through the first 3 days. I'll be back on here next week for some more Sports Q action for you. We're going to see if we can get some Bucks talk on here for you with Justin Garcia from 620 WTMJ covering the show. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Sports Q again here on WJJQ. Hope you have a great evening, and I hope you have a sportacular week, and I will see you all next week.
Yeah! listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.